Welcome to ITB Berlin's Travel Hero podcast, where we explore the stories and strategies shaping a global tourism. I'm your host, Charlotte Lamb-Davies, with management consultancy A Bright Approach. And today, we're joined by Thomas Boomkes, who is Managing Director of Diversity Tourism and a longtime advocate for inclusive travel. We'll be talking about the evolving expectations of the LGBTQ plus travelers and how destinations can stay authentic in a changing world, and why diversity isn't just a value, it's a smart business strategy. So, Thomas, welcome.
Hello, Charlotte. Thank you so much for having me in your podcast here today. I'm really excited to be here with you.
Nearly as excited as me, I can assure you. You and I, of course, have worked together for a few years now as we both help shape the conference program for ITB Berlin. But for those of our listeners who might not know you, could you tell us a little bit about yourself and, of course, diversity tourism, please?
Yes, absolutely. So I have quite a long history with ITB already. I think my first ITB was in 1997. That gives you some idea of my age already. Yes, we started very early with LGBT tourism at ITB. I think we were the first ones in the Munich booth, where we are from. So, and then we did some our first steps at ITB, but it became really important to us when ITB hosted the LGBT tourism segment as an official segment at ITB. This was back in 2010 already. And since then, we are the ITB LGBTQ tourism advisor for this segment, and we developed the LGBT pavilion, all the site events, the media events. We did ITB Academy conferences for LGBT tourism around the world with ITB in the past. We also host since a few years the ITB Diversity Gala, where we give out the ITB LGBTQ Tourism Awards every year. So we developed quite a big and important segment for ITB with our company Diversity Tourism, which is based in Munich. And we are more like a consulting marketing agency for niche marketings. We do LGBT tourism, is very important to us, but we also do medical health tourism, luxury tourism. So we're really into niche markets. We have also a website for the consumer in Germany called Tom on Tour, which is very important to us. We also host podcasts there. As you said, inclusive tourism, LGBT tourism is really where we are coming from, which is important to us. And we are very well connected in the world of in the tourism industry. And we are also partner of the IGLTA, of the International Gay and Lesbian Travel Association, where I had the honor to be on the board of directors for 10 years in the past. So we are quite established in this segment.
Thomas, you recently attended the IPB conference in Chicago, and then you took a road trip through Texas. Now, firstly, I would love to know what stood out at the conference, especially about the LGBTQ plus traveler experience in the US of A.
So the best experience for us was that really for our partners, our destination partners, our industry partners, nothing really changed in the US. So they still want to work in the LGBT tourism market. They see that the problems that many people from the LGBT community have concerns to travel to the US right now because of some changes there. And they know this and they realize this. But most of them say we will not stop our activities. We probably will do more, that really the world sees we are still open for LGBT tourism, that we need and want our LGBT tourists in the US, especially for destinations in Florida, Miami, Fort Lauderdale, Tampa, Key West, but also the big cities, New York, Chicago, Los Angeles. They really want this and they will never stop this. Even what the administration say or do, they definitely want these tourists. And even when you go there, when you go into the community, when you are, I've been to Chicago, to Boys Town, into the scene, I mean, nothing changed there. The gay community is there like always. Of course, they also are facing some problems, when especially the Pride events in the US, because some big sponsor or main sponsors, they are not active in the Prides to finance these, and they have some financial problems with this. So you see this in the community, but this does not affect tourists of all, first of all. So the LGBT tourists are still totally welcomed in the US.
You also mentioned that when you were traveling around, you also felt very welcomed in the more rural areas, because we know big cities, of course, have a tendency to be really rather welcoming and flexible, but you felt very welcomed elsewhere as well. Tell us a little bit about that.
I mean, I traveled all my life very extensively in the US. So I've been in the urban areas, but also in the rural areas. This time we went back to Texas, but we also went to Grapevine, Fredericksburg, Austin, San Antonio. So not the really big cities or to Fredericksburg, very small destination. But to be honest, these are all tourism destinations. I felt very welcomed, and we traveled as a gay couple there. So it was a gay fam, so people really knew who we are, what we are doing. We felt totally welcome. And I cannot say that I felt any ressentiments or something against us. And that, I think this is a problem when we talk about LGBT tourism. There is no target group LGBT. This is for political reasons we have the LGBT community. But when we talk in business or for tourism, we have the L, we have the G, we have the T. It's different. And every little target group has its own needs and problems, as gay men or lesbian women, or when you are part of the transgender community. You are, especially for the transgender community, they facing totally different problems than me, myself, as a gay man. Yeah, so it's not the same. So you cannot say it's the group. It's really depending on. And even if two gay men travel or two lesbian women travel together and you really behave, you respect the culture, the rules there where you're traveling, you don't facing that many problems at the end of the day. And that's the same in the US, I think. And it doesn't matter if it's rural or urban, I would say.
I want to talk a little bit about, this leads us, I think, nicely into talk a little bit about global perception and, again, safety measures. I mean, from your perspective, how does the global, shall we say, LGBTQ plus community perceive overall travel safety today? Is there anything that you can share with us in that regard?
We have different risk maps for the LGBTQ community worldwide. Like, we work together with A3M, for example, as ITB. They just this July will give us their new LGBT travel risk map. And of course, you have countries which are definitely no-go for the LGBT community. Yeah, whereas they would kill you there or something. These are really no-go areas, of course. But in some countries, you have a lot of laws against the LGBT community, for example, Russia. So it's very difficult for people traveling there. Also, the Arabian countries can be difficult. But most of the countries, I must say, when you really behave there and respect the culture and follow the rules and the laws, it's also still okay and safe for to travel there for the LGBT community. And it's always fun when I see that many gay people go to the Arabian countries, especially to Dubai, is a very good example. So I've been there myself very often, and you have very big gay parties there in Dubai. And you can ask yourself, how can this be? It's totally not allowed there. Of course it's not. But it's not published, it's not in forefront, it's not in the window, but it's there because in every culture, everywhere where we go, we have an LGBT community. If they like it or not, we are everywhere, we are globally, and you cannot forbid us or so. This is, and they are there, and people have to live with this. Also in Russia, there is a huge LGBT community. Of course, it's a big problem for them to live, but they have to arrange their lives there. Even if for tourism, we cannot go there because of the war anyway, but even before, it's difficult for us. But the people who are living there, they live a life, and they live their life there. And many people would not say, okay, when it comes to Russia, why do I have to go there? I want to live here because I'm Russian, and yeah, okay, I'm gay or lesbian, but I find my way, and that's what they do. And this is, I think, also very important to tourism when we talk globally. For example, going not to a country means you don't support the community there, because we have to understand in every country in the world is an LGBT community. And when we don't go there, especially also when we say we don't travel to the US anymore because we like the current administration there, we don't support the community. We don't support our loyal tourism partners there. The hotels, all these partners, the gay bars, they all have a problem because we're not going there. They miss the consumer. They need. They miss our dollars we have to bring there. So it's really important that we travel and that we go there. And also for other countries, Russia as an example, the Arabian market, these people always also have to travel to other destinations to live an open life. So we see LGBT tourism is really important in both directions. And we have to take care of this, absolutely.
You spoke briefly about that A3M survey that is coming out around risk management. Could you, I know it's not quite released yet, or the new survey is not quite officially out yet, but could you just tell us a little bit about what that is about and how people might be able to get their hands on it eventually?
Yes. Since last year, we have created a partnership with A3M Risk Management in Hamburg and ITB Berlin, and we have a long-lasting partnership now because they publish an LGBT travel risk map annually. And usually, it was only with the hard facts, with the laws. So how are the laws in the different countries? And that is by all the other lists. Also, ILGA, they publish these lists, and this is what they do. And this is very good to have when you know how the political situation is in a country, but it doesn't reflect really the reality and the reality for tourists, because this could be totally different than the approach. Yes, this is why I have this partnership with A3M, and we had this first survey starting this just before ITB this year. And the good thing in that survey was that we had some questions, but we only asked the people to give us more information in an interview. So we really have a quite amount of people who really came back to us and gave us their personal opinion when they travel to different countries. And this is totally different from the law situation in a country. And I think what we can see in those results is that people say, usually when they go to difficult countries, tell it this is difficult countries, they always say, when you behave, when you follow the rules and the laws, it's usually safe for them to travel. Yes. But when you want to have your coming out there on the street, kissing your men or holding hands, then you have a problem. But this is could be difficult for other people as well. So this is, I think, one of the results of these surveys we did.
One of the things that I really wanted to talk about is the positivity around how certain countries and destinations are actually catering for the LGBTQ plus community. And Spain, of course, often has come up as a leading example as to how to make this community feel truly, truly welcome. So again, with your sort of you being so close to everything, what specific initiatives or attitudes have you seen there that maybe other destinations could learn from?
Yeah, Spain is a really good example there. Really, I think it's one of the most welcoming destinations for the LGBT community globally, I would say. And I think this is not only that Turespaña make probably, or the destination make good LGBT marketing. I think it's the people other people in Spain. So they're really open-minded. They're very tolerant and liberal. Also, this is probably for other destinations, but in Spain, it's really, they live this really. And that's what I saw in the last 10, 20, 30 years, that more and more that the LGBT tourism in Spain really growing. And many destinations, also small destinations, they do LGBT marketing now. They have small destinations like Gandia, for example, in Comunidad Valenciana. They have little prides. They make something big out of it. And they are all happy that they have the pride events that the gay games coming to Valencia. So this is really, you feel the entire community, not only the LGBT community, like the society. They're really supporting. And they have a very good example in one of our Tom on Tour podcasts we have recently with a drag queen, with an Austrian drag queen, Candylicious, and she moved from Vienna to Madrid. And she said, I'm Austrian and I like to be in Austria, but Madrid is so different than other cities. When she is performing in drag, she said, and going on the street or taking a cab to the location where she has to go, nobody is taking care of her. Nobody. So it's just, she can be really her in whatever she is or wants to be. And in other destinations, it could be difficult for her. And this was really, this is my personal experience as well. When you are in Madrid, it's really, you feel really, you feel the openness of the people there. It's not only Madrid, it's also in rural areas or small areas. Maybe it's especially when you go to the Mediterranean side or to the Atlantic coast in the north, these people are, because when you live on the sea, people are open-minded. It's always history. It's always. Because you are supposed to be that many people from abroad coming to you, And there are a lot of tourists are there, so they're more open-minded. Maybe open-minded. Maybe it's different in the center city, like in Extremadura. I don't know. I've never been there. But in general, it's really open. And Spain is a very good example. And yes, I can. And the funny thing is, they don't need to do any marketing. We all go anyway to Spain. Yes, and you see, it's not only LGBT community. Like, everybody loves Spain and go there. It's because of different reasons.
We want to also talk a little bit about the future of inclusive travel. So again, I want you to put your futuristic hat or head on and look sort of 5 years in. What does an inclusive travel experience ideally look like from your perspective in 5 years from now? 5 years is not a long time. We'll get further in a minute.
I think for inclusive travel, it's really important that I think that will be that destinations really just include LGBT tourism in their regular marketing campaigns. It's not necessary really that you need to do special LGBT marketing campaigns when you don't do it. But I have a good example. When you, for example, produce a promotion video for your destination, yeah, and you and of course you have the different target groups in your video which you want to cater to, you can very easily include two men side by side. It's a second in the video, and probably most of the people will not recognize it. But gay people, they will see it. They will see it. And you don't need to say, hey, you see, we have a gay couple in our video. Don't mention it. It's really not necessary. Just gay men sitting together on a bank. It's not necessary to holding hands. Just sitting side by side, more comfortable together. It's enough. But this, the gay community sees this, and the LGBT community really valuable this when you see it, because they see, hey, we are recognized. They know that we are there. They see us as a customer, as a client, and that is what we want to see, because the most of the LGBT community, we don't feel special. We don't want to be special. We want to be recognized as a regular client or customer, like anybody else. We have some special needs, of course. Hey, like everybody else has special needs. Every target group has needs. Like family, they have a lot of needs with their kids, yes? Or elderly people, everybody has needs. And also the LGBT community has this. And we just want to be recognized as regular customers. And this would be a good advice for destinations, for hotels, or for airlines, that they include these needs into their regular marketing campaigns. Even if they say, okay, special marketing campaigns we don't need at the moment, but this is important. And I think this is more valuable than anything else.
I think when we also spoke, you mentioned this thing about, you know, either hoteliers or DMOs just sort of using the slogan, all are welcome. That's not going to target that particular group. You know, a little bit more still, if not quite a lot more, still needs to be done, I think. And one day, maybe you can just say, all are welcome, and this is what we're working towards. But we still have, I think, a little bit of work to do there, right?
Yeah, and this is a good point, what you say. Oh, yeah, when somebody's, oh, we don't need special target marketing because we invite everybody and we love everybody. Okay, that's okay. But when you see those videos from those destinations, you see always a man and a woman strolling around and doing this or doing that. That is not the reality. It's not the reality. Yeah, the reality looks different. Yes, and this does not mean, oh, this is not everybody. And it's by the way, they're always young and beautiful. Always young and beautiful. No, they never get older in their life. Never. So, and this is also interesting. Yeah, so you have to, you have to target the target groups you want to have. Yeah, when there's this destination hotel targeting families, then focus is on family. Totally clear to me. Yes, Ben, maybe. When we have more target groups, please put all the different target groups in your videos, in your promotions, in your social media, whatever. Put them all in and just don't say it. Do it. And pictures and videos and photos really can talk much more than any words in the end of the day.
There's one more thing I will want to squeeze into this podcast, because we want to talk just for a few minutes around advocacy and social change. And as we know, in some places like Budapest, we saw that governments were restricting the pride events, yet more people than ever showed up to celebrate. Now, so we all will have our opinion about it, but what does this resilience actually say about the future of the LGBTQ plus travel and the advocacy around it.
Yes, that, yeah, Budapest was a very good example. I mean, Hungary is really a country in the European Union, and they tried to forbid Budapest Pride, which was happily really to see that was totally the opposite what happened in the end. I think this says clearly the LGBT community is there. You have to respect it and you have to work with them. If you like them or not, they are there. And it is also for businesses, when you wear diversity marketing, diversity strategies, it is better to work with the community and take all the value out for your company, for your destinations. And it's really value when you don't work with them. To work against it, it will never be successful in the end of the day. Of course, it can be very bad for a few years, but in the end of the day, it will change. And I think also the same thing for the US. Right now, we're facing really problems that people don't want to go there because of different reasons. But I think this will definitely change in the future again as well.
Thank you, Thomas. I think on that note, thank you for reminding us that inclusion is not just a campaign, it's a commitment. You really have been a true travel hero here on our podcast. Thank you for joining us.
Thank you so much, Charles, for having me here.
Absolutely fantastic. And we soon get to work on ITB Berlin 2026, of course. So it won't be long before I see you again, luckily. Thank you. Thank you again. And of course, to our listeners, if you are looking to reach today's travelers with relevance and heart, remember this, showing people they belong isn't niche, it's necessary. We will be back with more voices and visions shaping the future of travel, only here at the ITB Berlin Travel Hero Podcast. Thank you for listening and join us next month to discover the continued impact of AI in the travel sector. We will welcome Setnam Ersan from Google to the chair. Safe travels.